We are free, and it's an amazing place to be in our relationship with God, to know that no matter what we do, no matter how poorly we seem to treat each other, as long as we turn away to God, or turn to God and turn away from the sin, God's going to forgive us. He's going to take us back no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. So today we're talking about community, and as you know, Pastor Toby had a complete sermon ready to go on this. So I'm going to be a little extemporaneous. So to kill some time, no, not really. This is actually supposed to happen. We have a guest here today, and she's a very, very special guest. She's one of the missionaries that we support, and we have for a little while, right? How long have we been supporting you, Christy? Do you know?
Almost 15 years.
So we're talking about community, like I said, and we're going to try to define community over the next few weeks through the sermon series, but let it suffice to be said that community extends beyond this building. Community extends beyond this city. Community extends to the world, really. And Christy is touching a part of the world with her mission that I think is an amazing piece. And she's going to be talking at Sunday School Hour about it. So, Christy, you want to give your 1-2 minute plug on the Sunday School? Come on up and use the podium mic here. So, Christy Reiner.
I don't know about a plug for Sunday school, but it's sure nice to be home. Yeah. And I call it home because so many of you have been with me. I've been serving for 17 years now. I know. Can you believe it? But faithfully, we've gone through the ups and downs together as community. I'm not always here a whole lot. I have been back in the Midwest, and I want to bring you some greetings from there as well, where with my family and my mother, we call First Presbyterian in Sioux Falls home. And so I'm grounded in First Press, okay? I can speak all day long. But thank you for being the community. And a beautiful song when we thank God. Today what we're going to do is celebrate. We are going to thank God as we say and we sing, Alhamdulillah, thank God. Thank God for everything that we do, and we're going to thank God for how he's been at work. I hope you will come and share the excitement with me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. So 11 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. After coffee, go into the fellowship hall for coffee, then step over to the fireside room and get some schooling on what she's doing in the Middle East. All right. So, community. We're going to read a passage from Luke first. Mike, is there still a ring in this thing? Maybe it's just my ears. I don't know. I want to make sure that I sound at least good when I'm making things up, you know? So I'm going to teach today straight from Scripture. Since I didn't prepare a sermon, we're going to read Scripture, we're going to go through it, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on here, and then we're going to try to relay it to our mission as community. So, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, okay, what day? Doesn't tell us. We have to go back before this to say what day. This was the same day that Jesus was discovered missing from the tomb. So this was Easter Sunday that this was going on. On that same day, two of the disciples, not the ones that the 12 that we know, but other followers of Christ, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. A bit had happened over the course of the last few days to the disciples of Jesus Christ, hadn't it? So we'd had the compassion of Christ, the crucifixion, the Last Supper, all these things had gone on, and now these guys have been told that the tomb was empty. And they're not aware at this point of the ramifications of the empty tomb. They just know that Christ is missing, right? So as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I'm not sure why Jesus didn't want them to recognize him at this point. However, there is application as we talk about this in our lives today. oftentimes we're walking along doing our normal daily life, and we don't know when Jesus is there beside us in the form of another person or an event or something that is occurring right beside us, and we don't recognize that Jesus is there. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Well, imagine if you were in their position and you were talking about somebody that you cared for deeply, somebody that you followed, somebody that you were a disciple of. Everything that they did, you did. If they washed their hands one way, you washed your hands that way. If they walked on the high road, you walked on the high road. If they ate with their left hand, you ate with your left hand. You're a disciple. You follow. Discipleship is doing what the person that you're following is doing. Now, this master that they were following had just died. So imagine their body language. Imagine their state of mind. How many here have ever lost somebody close to them? You weren't walking around doing the bell kicks and the jig, right? Stop it. What we did was, you know, what you do in those situations is you're contemplative, you're sad, you're lonely. You are feeling the selfishness of missing that person, even though that person may be in a much better place. They're up there dancing with Jesus, rubbing elbows. Whatever it is that we feel when this happens, these guys were feeling. They're sad. So it goes on. And Luke was a pretty smart guy. He's very astute. He makes sure that we know what their body language is. He says, they stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there these days?" So here's this guy asking questions about something that's very hurtful to them. And he's reacting. I mean, I can imagine him actually reacting almost angrily. "Dude, don't you know what's going on? Come on. We're sad. We're dejected. You know, you don't know what's been happening in Jerusalem." And Jesus asked them, "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief of priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Boy, could you imagine saying those words? Feeling those words? "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women told us that
That's the problem with reading from Scripture while you're trying to preach. "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they didn't see." Okay, you're a first century Jew, follower of Jesus Christ. It's the day that the tomb is found empty. You have just found out that the person you're following isn't there. Angels said he's alive. To women. Okay. Palestine in the first century was a very predominantly, patriarchal society. So women finding a tomb empty is bad propaganda if you're trying to spread something that's not true. Right? This is why we can be pretty confident that what we read here is the truth, because if you were trying to write a story that had credence with the first century population, you wouldn't have women finding the tomb empty. You wouldn't have women seeing angels because that society wouldn't have put much credence in that. And I got to imagine that these two guys probably are thinking these women saw angels. You know, really, you know, I mean, they're dejected. They're sad. They thought Jesus was going to come and Jesus was going to redeem the people. He was going to save Israel. He was going to kick the Romans out potentially and make Israel great again, like it was under David and Solomon. And these women found the tomb empty and they said angels were there. Jesus replied to these guys, because I can hear the sarcasm potentially in these guys' voice. And Jesus said, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So he's rebuking them in a way, saying that, you know, why don't you believe what the prophets said? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scripture concerning himself. So Jesus took this opportunity to do what? Continue to teach. Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was instructing them on the scriptures that talked about his death, his resurrection, his redemption, based on what all the prophets had said in the Old Testament. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. So Jesus was sort of replicating the Last Supper thing. He broke the bread, gave it to them. And at this point, these guys' eyes were opened. They recognized that this was Jesus that they'd been with all this time. He disappeared from their sight at that point. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting that the moment that their eyes were opened, they were breaking bread with each other? They were having a meal with each other. Innumerable times in Scripture, meals, and especially in the culture that we're talking about, meals were a time of covenant. Meals were a time where people shared. Meals were a time when things of great import were talked about. That's when things happened around meals. So how many of you, and I know that I saw it this morning at Pete's, but just a show of hands, how many of you have a habit of at some point during the week sitting down with somebody at a coffee shop or a diner or something just to share company? I would encourage every one of you that didn't raise your hands to make that a habit. Find a point in your week where you can get together with somebody from community, whether it's somebody in this church, somebody from outside these walls, somebody that is in need of an ear, that you would meet with these folks. Listen to these folks, because you never know. You never know when Jesus is in that person, speaking to you through that person. You never know when a word or a thought or even an aside glance at somebody is going to impress you as being the Word of God. God comes to us in many, many different ways. One of the most prominent ways is through the people we associate with. God speaks through people. So take these opportunities to commune with each other. Communion, you know, the words are similar, right? We're breaking bread. We're having a covenant with each other. Commune with each other. Sit down. Have conversations. We're talking about community today. If you turn to your bulletin, there's a pretty brightly colored page. It's a word cloud. And for those of you that participated in the congregational survey stuff where we filled out 3x5 cards, this was one of the products that came out of that exercise. And I want to thank everybody that did participate. We talked to 56 different people in the congregation. What's our attendance today, Terry? Do you know? Did you count yet? 120. So almost half of the people that are sitting here participated in this survey. We had a bunch of people that were prior leaders, deacons, elders. We had a number of people that were under 55 in two different groups. We conversed. We talked. We sat down. We used something called mutual invitation to make sure that everybody's voice was heard. Because in a multicultural society, which we live in, there are instances where perceived leadership can block input from somebody that doesn't perceive themselves to be a leader. And what we wanted to make sure happened was that everybody's input was heard, listened to, and used to develop a mission, vision, and value statement for our church. We're going to talk more about this at the middle part of May, end of May, I think. We're going to go through the entire mission study with you guys to present it to you. But this is just part of it. What we did was, if you look at the table on the left, if you look at the table on the left, you'll see the top 25 words that were used in our 3x5 cards. So we gathered all the 3x5 cards, we transferred them to Excel, we sorted them, we put them into a word analyzer, we looked at frequency, we looked at phrase frequency, we came up with a bunch of things to develop this cloud. What's the most prominent word on that cloud? Shout it out. Okay, community was used ubiquitously by every group. Community was used 60 times on those cards. We only interviewed 56 people. So community was used more than once by people on more than one card. So community obviously is something that is in our congregation's mind. Interacting with the community, helping the community, serving the community, going out and being part of the community. What we just talked about, this interaction between Jesus and these disciples on the road to Emmaus, he was interacting with his community, two of the people in his community. And he was bringing them word and vision and understanding. And we have that same capability. We have that same drive in us, apparently, to go out and interact with community. If you look here, community, God, Jesus Christ, love, people, service, top six words. What's interesting is in every group, in every single group, community, God, love, people, and service were in the top five. When you combine them all, Jesus Christ jumped up from number six to number three, combining them. But you can see that there's not a lot of difference separating number six, number five, number four, number three. It's 51 to 49. So those are really close. These are important words for us. This is who we are. This is our identity. And part of understanding who we are is imperative for us to go out and interact with community appropriately. So I'm not going to take a lot of extra time talking about the passage or this chart, but I am going to exhort you to do something this week. If you're not one of the people that raised your hands, do me a favor. Look around. Raise your hands again if you do it. If you go and meet somebody for coffee. If you get together. Okay, now look around. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up, please. Look around. If your hand is not up, please find somebody else in the congregation today when we're over at the fellowship hall whose hand is not up, and invite them to coffee. So if you're not looking around, I can't believe you're taking me seriously. So hands up if you do it, high. If you do it, hands up high. If you don't do it, look around, find somebody that whose hand is also not up. Because first off, we need to engage our community and be be that community of believers that support each other, that listen to each other, that want to engage with each other before we can properly go out and engage the community that's outside these doors, which many of you desire to do based on the answers that we got on our cards. So can I get an amen that we need to engage in community?
Amen.
Right? We need to be, who's ever been on an airplane and heard the thing about when the oxygen masks drop down, what do you got to do? What do they tell you to do? Put your own mask on first and then help the people around you, right? So what I'm having you understand right now is engaging in our community here, getting to know each other here through this process of communion, through a process of getting together and breaking bread, drinking coffee, whatever it is, and listening to each other in an active listening kind of way, understanding the body language, downcast heads, the voices that are maybe not as perky as you'd like to hear. Being a good communicator with each other in here will help us communicate well out there. Okay? So I would encourage everybody to do that. Come to Sunday school today. Come see Christy. And we might get out of here a little early. Yes, Beth.
To help stretch the time, I have something
Beth, can you use the microphone, please?
I
know, but you look better up here. Because she makes me look better up here, right? She's good looking.
He's in my parish. As one of the deacons on the Friends at Visitation for Friends at Home, enlarge your vision. And you have a church member who is a shut-in, or it could be a neighbor, anyway, but a shut-in, call them and see if you can have coffee with them.
Amen.
These people are lonely, and it would be such a big help to me, and it would enrich your life as well. So on this flexible Sunday, I dared do this.
That's great. And that's actually doing what Jesus did. And as disciples of Christ, we're supposed to do what Jesus did. He comes alongside people. Sometimes they don't even recognize it. And it's our job to come alongside people as well and talk to them. So, Beth, that's great. And, in fact, in May, when we go over the entire package, one of the goals that we have down there is establishing a stronger at-home ministry team. So, you know, shut-in and senior care centers. Because we've got a lot of senior care centers in this community. There's a lot of them. And there's a lot of people there that are longing for someone to come just say hello, have a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, talk, engage. So that's one of our goals in our sheet. So I'll save that for May.
And if anybody is interested in being assigned to somebody, see me, please.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to close us in prayer real quick from the sermon part before we move on with the rest of our service. And I would encourage you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are your instruments on this earth. We are your image. We are the hands, feet, mouthpiece of you. And I pray that you would use us in ways that we haven't even begun to think about yet. Have us encounter people in conversations that are important, meaningful, transformative conversations. Lord, bring those people into our lives. Have us seek out those people. Give us the opportunities to talk with folks about you. It's not hard to be a listener if you really want to listen. And I just pray that you would make us all listeners. Give us your ears to hear, your eyes to see, so that we are in tune with the people that we are engaging with, that we are able to assist and to help them and to speak into their lives with your words. Today was a prime example, Lord. I didn't prepare a sermon, but you gave me the words. I hope some of them hit home. I pray that they did. And I just am encouraged to be able to share with the congregation that it's not always our preparation that makes us ready to go speak. Oftentimes, like Stephen, it's your words that enter us. It's your words that guide us. It's your words that come forth to impact and transform the lives of others. So, Lord, be with us as we go out of here today. And in your mighty Son's name, just we pray. Amen.